I don't know whether I should stand up here or just we all sit down in a small circle. Then they will be more comfy like that. What a big change in Vancouver. About 10 days ago, Leah and me were sitting in a dining table talking to someone else, talking about the weather of Vancouver. We said, Vancouver never snow. At most, just a half day, and then it will be melted away or washed away. And then a few days later, there is in the news say that there will be a freezing temperature and then big dump in Vancouver. And by the time when we hit Mexico, they say that there is a big snow already. And then on Friday, when we sit in an airport looking at people bumping at each other because of all those snowstorm, ice storm in Midwest, in East Coast, that they try to catch a flight back home. So it is something very, very extraordinary in Vancouver. But I find that one more thing more extraordinary to me is in the past about 15 days, I keep on seeking what I shared this morning, and I come up with nothing. Believe me, nothing. So I was just sitting in the ship day and night, looking at the endless ocean. Oh, what should I do? And then all of a sudden, I have some feeling. Not what I said. I have some feeling that totally shocked myself. I found I miss you guys. You believe it or not? Totally shocked myself. I was sitting there having a great time all by myself, quiet down, really cool inside the air condition, looking at the ocean. Sometimes some dolphins jump up, things like that. It should be appreciate what I am having at that time. Not to remember you guys back in Vancouver, right? Right. So when I have that kind of thought, oh boy, I say, boy, I miss you guys. What does it mean? Okay. Usually, when we say that we miss someone, that means we love someone, right? Otherwise, you won't miss those people. Based on that, so I developed into this morning's topic I want to share together with you guys is a single word, love, L-O-V-E, love. Especially last night when I look at the weather, it start to fall, the snow start to fall again. And then I can figure someone at this time maybe at 8:30 or 8 something start to shuffle the whole parking lot. I've been there once, a few years back. It was a really, really difficult job. And I have seen, at least when I walk over, I have seen 6 brothers doing that kind of difficult job. For nothing, right? You go out to shuffle your neighbor's snow, you may get, what, $5? Maybe $10? Sometimes you get a bigger reward, maybe $20. Now you get what? Financial-wise, you get zero. You get nothing. But what makes us to do that? Get up early in the morning, leave our comfortable warm bed and come out to the freezing weather to this kind of laboring job. You sweat all over, but still laughing, playing, jumping up and down. To me, that is the love. But is it love for each other? It won't last. How come they're out there day in, day out, every time when the big snowfall, I can see some of them? It is the love of God inside of us to drive us willingly to do that. Love is the high esteem that God has for his human children, and the high regard which in turn we should return to him and other people. Because of the hundreds of references of this word love in the Bible, so we can say it is the Bible of love. It records the greatest love stories ever written. God's unconditional love for us, and he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for us. Love is not only God's attribute, but it is his essential part of his nature, just like in the book of Deuteronomy says. Also, God is love in 1 John. So the Bible personalized God as love. Such love surpasses our powers of understanding. Love like this perfect love is everlasting. It is free. It is sacrificial and enduring to the end. Actually, when we talk about love, so many times we actually do not understand what is love. So how about let us turn to 1 John chapter 4 verse 7 to 10. Boom, Minerva, read for us.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins.
This passage talks about one thing, very important, very stand out to me, that I have mentioned also, that God is love. So it gives out an equal mark, God equal to love, or love equal to God. That sounds grand, that sounds beautiful, that sounds simple, but actually what does it mean? We use this word love a lot, and some of us, sometimes we ourselves still feel confused. Actually, what does that mean? Since we use the same word to express all those different emotions, we depend a lot upon the persons who hears that word and put that word through their interpretation, and then arrive, hopefully, to the correct conclusion or correct meaning. And then, actually, to confuse even further, is the word love is also used in our daily expressions. Love is something that we fall into. Love brings stars, sparkling, twinkling stars in our eyes, and most likely cause our hearts to pump, boom, 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 like that. Is it love? I heard someone said that love is never having to say you are sorry. Well, I think that person never get married yet. You guys don't get it, right? Okay. We may even get confused when it comes to the subject of spiritual love. The Bible tells us that God is love, and that I am to love God with all my heart. It tells me to love my neighbor, to love my enemies. So, what is love really? Usually we think that, I love someone that I love, or I love someone that I like. Much of our confusion is because of the limitation of our language. You know, the New Testament, most of the New Testament was originally written in Greek, not in English. So let's go into the original word to see what does it mean, love. Actually, the word love comes from three Greek words. Okay, Samuel is not here. Sam up there? Okay, maybe he can help us with the correct pronunciation. But using my own, the one is eros, philios, and agape. We realize that they express different kind of love. But at the same time, we generally translate these three Greek words into one English word, love. Because we don't have any other word to express it more closely to that meaning. So now, this morning, we will try to go into that three Greek words to see what are the differences and what is actually love mean in the Bible. The first word, eros, is not used in the New Testament, but its meaning is referred to it many times in both the Old and New Testament, in the whole Bible. It means physical love. It means sexual love. And what is mentioned among us, when we mention about this, there will be usually two common reactions to it. One is, react very nervously, do not know what I'm going to say. The other one is just shocked that I bring up this topic. But you see, our problem is that we do not usually have a biblical definition of biblical things. We need to realize that the eros, E-R-O-S, this erotic love is a gift from God with a clean and pure hands. He gives us to us and say, it is good. God gives this love as a special gift to us. But of course, it has its limitations. Anytime that intimate things must always have limitations. Otherwise, that is abuse. So the Bible clearly teaches the erotic love to be shared only by two people, husband and wife. People who are married to each other, who have a deeper commitment to each other, who have promised each other, therefore, just like the wild said when they get married, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health, that they will keep on loving each other until one of them or both of them die. When they make that kind of commitment, then God's special gift, this kind of love, is given to them as a privilege. Even though it is pure and holy as it is, the erotic love has its imperfections. Because by nature, erotic love is selfish. It depends upon emotions and feelings. This love is always looking for something that will satisfy its own desire. So if we just say that love is this erotic love, then all of its imperfections, impurities, comes to surface. But in its original form, as a gift from God, it is beautiful and perfect gifts that God has given to us. The other meaning is filio. That word means brotherliness, companionship, friendship, to have compassionate affections and feelings. It is a type of impulsive love. This love is too often a temporary type. It is a love that says, I will love you as long as you love me. Or I will love you as long as the waves are smooth. I will love you as things going smoothly in our lives and in the right direction. Or I will love you as long as I'm getting what I want from this relationship. But that is not the depth that it is needed in love. Filial love too is a gift from God, but by itself it is never enough to show what actually love is. The third one is agape, is the word that is used in the passages that we have just read. It says God is agape. God is love. It is a love that is different from the other two because it is totally unselfish. This word agape is the characteristic term of Christianity. This word for love is used several different ways in the Bible. We find it. One, it indicates the nature of the love of God toward His beloved Son, toward the human race, and toward those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The second aspect is this love conveys God's will to His children about their attitude toward one another. That's why the Bible says love one another. For love one another was a proof to the world of the true discipleship. Thirdly, this love also expressed the essential nature of God. Love can be known only from the action it performed, as seen in God's love in the gift of His only Son. Love found its perfect expression in our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian love is the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus in us, the believers. Love is like oiling the machine. It enables to run the way God wants us to run. Without this kind of love, we are nothing. Just like in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, such spirit-inspired love never fails, always flourish. It is a love that is more concerned about making the object of love feel loved than it is in making the love feel loved. The lover is willing to sacrifice, to make any sacrificial necessary just to make the object of love feel loved. That is what God did. When He looked down from heaven at the human race, He didn't consider how comfortable it was in heaven. He didn't consider His own situation, but He is willingly sacrificed Himself and came to earth and lived with them. He breathed our air and experienced our life. It is the kind of love that reaches down and pick up the dirt and annoy the eyes and cause them to see. It says the kind of love that stands beside the tomb of the loved one and weep with others. It is the kind of love that blesses the children to those who brought them to Him. It is the kind of love that does not consider Himself, but unselfishly goes to the cross and die up there and shed His blood for us and give His life. There may be hope for us who are hopeless without it. This is called agape, love. If God have loved us with eroticism, the erotic kind of love, or if God has loved us with filial, the friendship love, He would have packed His bag long time ago when He was first rejected. He would have gone back to heaven and sit down there and say, "Come on, I have it all. I'm not going anymore. I will wait until they change." He would never endure and would never gone up to the cross. Instead, He would say that, I will come back sometime when I'm appreciated and when I'm respected. But because it was an agape love, He was more concerned about us, the object of love, than He was about Himself. And that is how it must be in marriage or friendship or anything else. So, when the Bible says that God is love, it means that God doesn't love us with just a surface kind of love. But He loves us with an all-sacrificing love. He gives Himself completely to express this kind of love. But the next question to us is, well, if we know this 1, 2, and 3 kind of love, so what? In the passage that we just read, in verse 7, it says, "Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." It implies to us, when we love each other, we need to do something. Love is an action carried out. You express love through your action. We cannot sit there, tell the one across the table, say that, "I love you." And then 5 minutes later say that, "I love you." And then 5 minutes later they say that, "I love you." And you just sit there, do nothing. It has to have some action to go with your word. Sometimes we are so used to just saying things without doing the action. Sometimes, especially as Christians, so many times we keep asking, "Is it the thing God prepared for me?" Remember about that thing I talked about. In love, you never have to say sorry. I say, that person must be single still, not yet in marriage. Love is not only saying in your mouth, it carries in your action. You cannot say that, "I love some person," "I love one person," and that is it. There must be a consequential act following the saying. I still remember, I do not know whether I should share this or not. Okay. But in my memory, so many people asked me I should go back to long time ago. While I was in the States studying and then worked part time in a hospital, one day I was sitting there taking a break with other co-workers, and then in there a girl talking about she is getting married and then this and that and this. All of a sudden, I asked her a question. "What makes you want to get married?" She just hesitated for a while and then looked at me. "I don't know." Then I say, "What makes you decide to marry this guy?" She think for a while and then, I think I don't know. I do not want to break them up. My question is sincere, okay? Because that troubled me for a long time also. Even though I have no object in my mind, but this kind of a situation keep on ring up when I look at people, they get married. I say, "What makes them decide to get married? If I were them, what will be my decision point?" So after that break, the second break, when she come back, "Aiden, I know now." I said, "What is that?" He said, "Because I found that I cannot apart from him anymore." That means She wants to be with him all the time. That is her definition. And then I found that, oh well, that is pretty good. But I ask a second bad question. What makes you to be with him? I never get an answer. Well, they get married eventually. So, now it comes to my part. What makes me propose to get married? Yeah. Some of you may have heard that instance. At that time, I was in Hong Kong, and then one night I have a dream. I was dreaming that I go to Leah's funeral. And she is in Canada. And then while I was standing next to the coffin and I looked at her, the only thing in my mind, oh boy, I haven't proposed yet. Don't die yet. Wait for me. Well, David is shaking his head. But that is true. Sometimes we hesitate. Sometimes we do not know whether this is from God or not. Sometimes we may think that this may not be the right timing yet. But until we find that, we may be losing that thing, then we'll forget about anything. We'll forget about our logics. We'll forget about my decisions. We'll forget about everything else. But just try to grab hold of the thing that I am going to lose. The dream was so real to me. I still remember it. I still remember the color of the coffin. Of course, what kind of color you can get, right? I still remember when I looked down, I saw her face. I still remember what I said to the dead body in my dream. We have our own decisions. We have our own expectations. But God has His own timing and His own arrangement. The only thing we have to do is just let go ourselves. Let go ourselves. Most of us here, are young people. May not get married yet, or may be getting married soon. I don't know. You guys haven't tell me. Right? But over the years, I have heard so many people say, I am not getting married. I am not getting married. Right at that time, in my heart, my example come up in my mind, say, wait until you see someone dies, then you may change your mind. Then, finish that story. Then, next day, I wrote a letter. I seldom write. Okay. I wrote a letter. Okay. And then she accepted. So, that is the strange thing in our lives. What is love? We say that we understand love. But sometimes, even though we know somehow in our heart, but we do not want to carry it out. We do not want to express it out. But in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let us read a few passages. Verse 4 to 13. Abba Mel, read for us. It's a very familiar passage. Four to 13. Thank you. This is the passage, we know it long time ago. Some of us may be able to memorize it. But did we ever carry it out? We say it so many times, read it so many times, we memorize it so many times, we thought that we understand it so many times, but did we actually carry it out? In here, in verse 4, it says, love is long-suffering or patient. The Greek word of this word means patience with people, and not patience with circumstances. It is the word used of the man who is wronged and who has the power to avenge himself, but he will not. It describes the man who is slow to anger, and it is used of God himself in his relationship with other men. This patience is not a sign of weakness, but the sign of strength. It means that I don't get into a hurry with you if you don't do things the way I would like for you to do for me. I wait for things to change. I wait for those edges in you to be knocked off. And I hope you too, you wait for those edges on me to be knocked off. That is the patience. Not just saying it, it is carried out in our daily lives. And also, talking about love is kind. The original meaning of that word is sweet to all. I wouldn't say anything unkind to you, because you are the object of my love. And the important part of my love to make sure that you feel loved. Therefore, I couldn't be unkind to you. So many times we say that, I won't be unkind to people, but I wouldn't be kind to people either, because they don't deserve that. Love knows no envy. I won't envy you. I won't boast about myself. I won't become proud, because I'm more concerned about you than I am about myself. It has been said that there are really only two classes of people in this world. Those who are rich, and those who would like to be rich. The same. There are two kinds of envy. The one who would like the possession of other people. You are driving a blue two-door coupe, beautiful Japanese-made car. When I look at it, I like it. I want it. That is one kind of envy. The other kind of envy is, he clutches the very fact that others have this kind of possessions, but actually he does not want it. Just like that beautiful blue two-door coupe, Japanese-made beautiful car, to me, I don't like it because it's too small for me. I can't get in and get out. No use to me. But when I look at that guy is driving it, passing before me, maybe he will crash at the next stop. That is the other kind of envy. So many times we fall into one of the two. But the Bible here, the scripture says, love knows no envy. Love is not rude. You know, maybe I am racist. Sometimes I always say, the Westerners always, they are so polite outside, but they are not actually polite inside. Because every race is the same. They may say, thank you, so many things. So once again, it verifies my viewpoint. This time we go through the Panama Canal. The ship will arrive at about 8 o'clock. So some people will be standing out there at the front line at 6. And then after everything, I heard some people say that, "Oh, those people are so rude. I was there at 6 o'clock. By 7:45, they just pushed their way in. They pushed me aside. And then I yelled back, 'Hey, what are you doing? That guy gave me a dirty look.'" Why? Because they just want what they want. They do not want to sacrifice their sleep and get up at 6 and stand there out in the dark until the ship arrives at the lock. They only want to get what they want at the timing that they prefer. Therefore, they do not mind to perform their rude to each other. Love is not rude means that I won't crowd before you in line. And if we get to the door at the same time, I will open it graciously and let you go before me, especially my size. It means that I am not self-seeking. True love will always be far more impressed with its own unworthiness than its own merit. Some people are in love with the idea that they are doing somebody a favor. But the real lover cannot get over the wonder that he is loved. Love will keep us humble. Love is not proud. There is one saying that the really great man never think of his own importance. That means never think of, I have done this, I have done that. When I look at someone else, they don't have this, they don't have that. This is because pride will lead to self-boasting and make ourselves not lovable, and our object of love unlovable. Love is not self-seeking. There are those in this world who are always thinking of what life owns them, and there are those who never forget what they own to life. Most of our problems surround us today can be avoided if we think less of our own right and more of our own duty. Whenever we start thinking about ourselves and our places, we are drifting away from the Christian love. Love is not easily angered. Christian love never becomes frustrated with people. Frustration is always a sign of defeat. When we lose our temper, we lose everything. We want to serve these brothers and sisters, but we get frustrated. We showed it in our expressions, in our words, in our actions. Our good deeds is gone. Is that the test of a man, if he could keep his head when everything else was losing? This man who is master of his temper can be master of anything. Love keeps no record of wrongs. And this word, keeps, is an accountant's word. In the Greek original, it is the word used for entering up an item in the ledger book that it will not be forgiven or forgotten. Sorry, it will not be forgotten. Just like, I have just let's say I have just buy GTA lunch, so I will keep up in my receivable side. So. She will buy me a lunch in the future. And then David just give me a ride home. And then I will pull up on my payable side, I will credit a ride to David in the future. Or someone just pass by me, look at me and then turn their head. So I will right on the receivable side, turn my head to her next time when I see her. That is this word mean. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It is the word used for entering up that little thing, no matter how small it is, in my own ledger book forever. This is precisely what so many people do. One of the greatest talents in our life is to learn what to forget. That is why Alzheimer is pretty good, actually. Many people nurse their wrath to keep it warm. They brew over wrong things until it's impossible to forget them. Christian love has learned the great lesson of forgetting. Well, it is very difficult to do, either. I know that. Love does not delight in evil. Better to translate this word is love finds no pleasure in anything that is wrong. It is not so much the delight in doing the wrong thing that is meant as the pressure which comes to most of us when we hear something about someone else. It is one of the traits of human nature that we prefer to hear of the misfortune of others rather than of their good fortune. Actually, it is much easier to weep with them than to rejoice with those who rejoice. Christian love finds no pleasure in bad report of others. Love also rejoices with the truth. We have so many negative things. Now we come to the positive thing. Rejoice the truth. This is not as easy as it sounds. There are times when we definitely do not want the truth to prevail. And still more times when it is the last thing we want to hear. Christian love has no desire to cover up the truth. It has nothing to hide, and so is glad when the truth is revealed. Also, love always protects or covers anything. It means it will never drag into the faults and mistakes of others. Love will rather mend things, properly displaying them. It can also mean that love can bear any insult, any injuries, and disappointment. So, at first, when I look at cover anything, what does that mean? So, actually, it means love can bear any insult. When people attack us, any injuries, when people hurt us, disappointment, when people disappoint us. That means we do not have our own self-ego before other people. We do not have our own protection before people. We do not have our own expectation before people. Because that is what God has done on the cross to show us. And love always trusts. This type has twofold meanings. In relation to God, it means that love takes God at His word. And the second meaning is in relation to our fellow, the people around us, it means that love always believes the best about other people. Love always hopes. Hope here means to expect to know. Love knows that God has everything under His control and rests in that promise. Just like in Psalm 25, it is a chapter full of good example of hopes in love. Love always persevere. This word used here is translated to bear or to endure, but what it really describes is not the spirit which can passively bear things, but the spirit which can overcome, can conquer. This bear or endure is not passive. It is active. Not saying that when situation comes, I just write it out. No. You accept it. You face it. And you overcome. Not that in Philippians chapter 4, it says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is not by our ability to endure, not by our strength to bear, to persevere. It is by the Christ in me, with the strength he bestowed to me. Finally, Paul has three things to say about Christian love. One, it never fails. Love never fails. When all the things in which man glory has passed away, love will still stand. In the Songs of Solomon, that is a very famous verse, chapter 8, it says, many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. Water cannot quench love. It gives us an expression of love like fire. Water cannot extinguish this fire. Usually we know that when there is a fire, you put water in it and the fire goes away. But this fire of love will not be quenched by water. And rivers cannot wash away. I've been in the sea for 14 days. I have seen so many things in the sea. Looks like a sea can absorb anything and everything in it. The last day, I was seasick for the whole day because such a big boat keeping rocking up and down, side by side, side to side. Water, when you look at it, water is so weak as a drop, but when it accumulates in a big mass, just like a river running water, it can be very powerful. But love, even a running water in the river, cannot wash away. It is somewhat like a rock in the midst of the river. When the water comes, just pass by it. The rock still stands. That is love. The one unconquerable thing is love. Love perfects us. Love makes us complete. Love matures us. Love grows us. It matures us. It allows us to see ourselves as we truly are. It grows us. It keeps us from acting like children, only to concern about our own desire. Love is supreme. Great as faith and hope are, love is still greater. Love without faith without love is cold, some person said, and hope without love is gloomy. Once again, faith without love is cold. I have faith, but I don't have love. This kind of faith is cold. I have hope. I have really, really big hope. But without love, my hope is gloomy. Love is the fire which kindles faith. And it is the light. Love is the light which turns hope into certainty. Everything starts with love. Just like John, when he was in his old age, the only thing he can remember is love. During this holiday season, most people who pass out boxes of chocolates, gifts, whether you need it or not, who will give beautiful flowers, roses, who send beautiful messages, expression of love, have no idea what real love, God's love, is all about. Like the apostle in the old times, we can only say, I love him because he first loved me. Do you love him? With the love that God bestowed on us? If you are, if you proclaim that you really love him, Why don't we just give our love to the people around us instead of gifts, chocolates, cards, or beautiful words, and make them and ourselves whole before God? Why don't we just make the biggest gift in this season is to give our love to each other? Let's pray. O Lord, our God, our Savior, thank you that you have died on the cross and shed your blood to show forth your love for us. We are the people who do not know love, who do not understand love, who do not want to exercise love. But because of you, you have laid a good example before us that we can learn from your action. We can learn from your pure love, that we may show the love that you have bestowed on us to the people around us, to the people whom we love, to the people whom we hate, to the people whom we just do not know them yet. Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. In the name of Jesus.